All right. I'm so honored to be with you. We showed our video this morning of all the nations that we have work in, and we still have work that are, we've been invited. I didn't get the chance to tell you that Burma has invited us to come and create a worship center. Burma has been in conflict of civil war for 69 years. And it's one of the generals of the army who has invited us to come and create a worship center in Burma. But that costs money, and so everything on our product table, all of our teaching CDs, all of my artwork, all of the cards that I make, everything, I do everything while I'm praying. My hands have got to be busy to keep my mind focused. So I do this so that I can focus, and then I start seeing what's in heaven so I can call it into time. So when my hands stay like this, it neutralizes what's going on, all the distractions inside of me. So I was telling somebody, this is what I do when I pray. She goes, you pray a lot. And I said, yes, I do. I have a lot of nations to pray for, and I'm believing God for nations, not just city transformation, because I believe God is transforming Macon. This is a city that's in transformation. It is in a place of preparation, and God is bringing more preparation. We've seen from the prophets who have been here over the decades, Bob Jones including, saying that there is a move that is supposed to come from this region, from this city, that the Holy Spirit has identified it, he has purposed it, and he has never given up on that purpose because he doesn't change. Now, we might have gotten older, and our bodies might have gotten slower, but the Holy Spirit isn't. He can just revitalize my bones. He can put life back in them. He can say, I ain't done with you yet, girl. I'm not done with you, son. It's time. It's time. You think the time is over? No, now is the time. Now is the time. You know why? Because it's taken this long to put the message in you. It's taken this long for you to learn something to give away. It's taken this long for you to start saying, hey, I know that voice and I can do that. I can do that, Papa. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Right? I love it. I love that his intentionality with us is never finished. It's never finished. His mandate for us is not to just serve him, because he doesn't want us to serve him and be servant. He wants sons and daughters. He wants a bride who'll make out with him. He wants a wife to kiss. And we are that bride. We are the sons, and we get that holy kiss. We have a face-to-face encounter opportunity every day of our life if we will align our body, soul, and spirit with his word and have no fracture, no distraction in there. God will align us to a place that we begin to experience face-to-face encounter with him. Kisses from heaven just for you. I want you to think about this. In a sea of faces, this morning when you saw all of our kids that we help all over the night, there's a sea of faces. Did you notice one of them? I mean, one of them always stands out to you, doesn't it? You're the one that stands out in a sea of faces to the Father. He is so exclusive with you. So exclusive with you. So intentional in your love. So intentional in loving you. He completely and designed every fiber of your being. He placed you in time at the perfect moment. He placed you into the perfect home. And you're saying, well, I was raised in a lousy home. I'm glad to be raised in a lousy home. I'm glad at least I came forth, because I can change my destiny. I can change that. When Christ comes in, I have a whole new opportunity to create a destiny in Christ. I don't care if I'm in a lousy situation. I have authority to change that lousy situation. But at least I'm in the right time, in the right place, and doing exactly what God wanted me to do when he wanted me to do it. I often, as a kid, thought, I should have been a pioneer. Because I'm a tomboy. I mean, I like my ball cap and my power tools and my guns. I like all that stuff. I like being barefoot all the time. You can dress me. I can dress me up and look like a girl. But I really am a tomboy on the inside. And I thought, I'd have been good walking along that trail with the wagons and smelling the horses. And I wouldn't have been a good cook, but I'd been good walking along the trail. I could have built the house. I'm not a good cook, but I could build the house. You wouldn't want to eat my cooking. This is the only cooking I do good, is the Word of God. I can cook that up. I like the freshness of that. I found some ingredients that go together for you tonight, and I want to share it with you, okay? This is a season of preparation. He is preparing you. You may be in a season of rest. You may have felt like, well, I'm just tired of going and doing. But I'm telling you, there, if you will listen, the Spirit is still stirring inside of you. He is stirring you because He is preparing you. He is preparing you that you must leave the last means of mediocrity behind. It's time to leave mediocrity. It's time to leave that dearth of poverty spirit behind us. Because if you are the cherry blossom queen, we got the cherry blossom queen. She ain't the only royalty in the house. You're all kings and queens. I'm glad that she's our ambassador for your city, aren't you? I'm glad for that because you got a spirit-filled ambassador. That's amazing. But you know, you are royalty. You are royalty. And we've got to get rid of this dearth of mediocrity and this dearth of poverty spirit off of us. Because poverty is not lack of money. It's lack of motivation. It's lack of vision. It's lack of dream. That's poverty. Because there's nothing impossible with my Jesus. If it doesn't exist, He'll make it for me. He'll make it for me. I don't always need money. Sometimes I need what the money was going to buy. Sometimes I just need a motorcycle to give to my river pastor. Because he needs a dirt bike to get back up to those little villages. I don't need money. I just need the bike. We went to one village up in Nicaragua. We have five villages. You have to climb 2.5 miles up the hill with alpaca. I love it. I love hiking that way. So you go 2.5 miles up, and there were five villages up there that didn't have houses. You saw what their houses look like. It's just, it's plastic and pieces of garbage that they've put together to live in. They live on the dirt. And I'm thinking, God, what do we do? How do we get all the supplies up here on alpaca? Okay. And the Lord said, build a kiln. A kiln so they could make their own bricks. So for $8,000, we built a kiln, and five villages all got a house. See? We didn't know how to fix that. God gave an idea. I'd never thought about building a kiln before. But they dug up the mud. We gave them the supplement that makes that mud strong. They cooked it and made their own bricks. And they don't mind doing the labor. They'll do the labor for free because they're getting a free house. So what they did is each of the village got the kiln for a month. And they can make as many bricks as they could for a month, and they haul them back to their village, and then the next one gets it for a month. So each of them got it for a month, and then they kept going around until everybody in all the villages have a house. Isn't God good? He's so good. And see, that's, you get rid of poverty not by having money. You get rid of it by not dream. You get rid of it because you keep dreaming and saying nothing's impossible with God. Here's what the Father's saying. Where I'm taking you, you cannot have a smallness of mind. Indeed, you must renew your mind just to enter into this place. I'm taking you to a place of intimacy inside of me you've never known before. Now, you have a lot of experience in God. You have a lot of experience in church. You have a lot of experience in prayer. But He wants to take you someplace you have never been before. Because He is new every morning. There are unfathomable beauty, joy, richness, perceptions of love, anointing, presence, infusion of the power of the Holy Spirit that He is wanting to put into your life. Man, I love what He's doing. I love this. This is a season about you stepping away out of your circumstances into a new place in Him. You have that opportunity. Now, this is an invitation. If you don't take it, that's fine. I'm not going to throw a rock at you. You can throw all the rocks you want at me. There's no glass in my house. Because you know what? The power of God came, boom, just knocked all the glass right out of my house. You throw all the rocks you want, I'll build a fireplace. I don't care. I don't care what you think. I have no reputation to lose. My life is dead and hid in Christ with God. I serve an audience of one. I do what he tells me to do when he tells me to do it. I expect his wisdom to flow through me. I expect his words of knowledge. I expect his ministry of love and healing. I expect him to flow through me. And with that expectation, I see amazing and wondrous things. Amazing and wondrous things that are still training me as a student of the Spirit of God. I will consistently be a student. Oh my goodness, I'm excited about this. Oh, right. Yeah. You do not live in your circumstances. You live in me. You must discover an awesome permission that means that I have for you in my intentionality for you. You must see me as I really am. You're not your church experience. You must be upgraded in every way. Who's ready for an upgrade? Renew me like the eagles, Jesus. I want to be 150. I want to be so saturated when I walk into a room, the whole place falls over under the power of the Holy Spirit because I'm saturated with presence. I don't care what my body looks like. I just want to keep going and doing the gospel and becoming the living word of God, spending all of Jesus's currency. He's my husband. I get to spend his money. Right? Okay. Are you married to this man?
Yes, I am.
Do you spend his money?
Yes, I do.
Yes, she does. She got the ATM number. She can go empty the account if she wants. Well, nice to meet you, Mrs. Jesus Christ, because you are married to the Lord Jesus Christ. You are his bride, and he has a bank account full of heal the sick, raise the dead, set the captives free. Go spend it. There ain't none of that in heaven. We have to spend it in time, right? All right. Who wants to spend it? The ATM number is F-A-I-T-H. It's the living word. That's what we are supposed to be. We're equally yoked with Jesus. We're equally yoked. I'm calling you to a dimension of the power and the place in the Spirit where truth is the gateway to experience encounters with me. Release the wisdom of my ways. Release the wisdom of my ways. We see all through Psalms and Proverbs where he says, seek wisdom. There's the gifts of wisdom. They're parts of the Holy Spirit. And wisdom shows up like build a kiln. That was wisdom. Sometimes words of knowledge just fall out of your mouth. Sometimes you're planting a seed in somebody's life that isn't going to bear fruit until the next generation. But had you not built the seed, it would have gone to their children and bear fruit in their grandchildren. You need to always be active in everything that God has. In every conversation, you are making a difference in someone's life. You are his mouthpiece. You are his lips. You are his hands. You are his feet. Your embrace means something. When you are genuine and you are vulnerable and you are transparent, there is an authority that is released on you and through you that represents the kingdom. Because when he speaks, 100 billion creatures take their breath. When he speaks, 100 billion creatures take their breath. He's a big God. You know, when the Toronto outpouring happened, we were there when it was like 200 people in the very beginning of it. And I remember these four little guys on the back. They're all from Korea. And they're going, foul, 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 foul. I'm going, what are they saying? Foul? I thought, no, that's me hearing. They're trying to say something in English. And they're going, fire, 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 fire. They were experiencing the fire of God. They're experiencing the fire of God. And I remember there's this guy who would stand up in the back and he'd go, big God! God, and he'd just scream it, and everybody, the presence of God would just get big in the room. You go, yeah, he is. But this new song is called So Am I by Hillsong. 100 billion creatures take their breath. 100 billion creatures take its breath when you speak. When you speak, 100 billion fears disappear. Oh, he knows you. He knows you. Every system in your body vibrates under the song of God's voice. Universe means one song. We're all part of that song. Everything that exists is part of his song. Before there was a point of reference, the God of creation, before there's a point of reference, conceives within himself manifest glory. And billions of galaxies come into existence. Our earth is formed. You were known before any of that happened. Before he said, light be, he knew you. Stop. Think about this. So why do we think that he can't do the impossible? Why do we think he's not going to give us the wisdom? He wants to give you every gift and every attribute you saw Jesus function in is yours to access. Come on. I don't have to stir it up. It is there. It is there. If you expect it, it begins to happen. It begins to happen. It's amazing what he has for us. Okay, so for I'm calling you to walk in the power of my perception about you. For your life will be governed by how I see you. Not for you to embrace my identity for you, that you would live in the majesty of my affections. Oh man. The majesty of his affections. We have the right to live as that son, that king, that priest, that anointed one. I have the authority to say, whatever Jesus paid for is my inheritance, and I can have it. See, the inheritance is not the stuff, it's the Father. It's never the stuff. We see this in the prodigal son. He spends all the money, and what does he want? He wants food and provision, so he comes back to be a slave in the father's house. But what does he get? He doesn't become a slave. He becomes son again. And he is restored to father, and he finally realizes, Father, you were the inheritance, not the money. I've come to my senses. I understand. You're the life. You're the breath. You're the reason for my existence. You're the reason that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Okay, so my perception is you will upgrade your DNA in the spirit, no longer child but son. Moving into maturity, you're learning your authority and embracing your liberty. The DNA of sonship gives you the access to different dimensions. God does not want you to be a three-dimensional person. Well, you're four dimensions anyway because you go through time. Time is another dimension. It's just linear. But he wants you to understand that as a spiritual being, as an eternal being, your eternal being has access to everything in eternity because Jesus gave you that access. Adam and Eve lost it. Jesus gave it back. We have access to walk in the cool of the garden with the Father once again. We have access to face-to-face encounter. We have access. We have not been denied anything. Now, here's what happens. We live in sin, sickness, and disease. We live in time, that is moment by moment by moment. And my circumstances shift, and the enemy goes like, I know where she hurts. If I do this, I'll distract her. I'll distract him. So he distracts us, and all of a sudden, all of our attention, all of the authority, all the glory of God that's on you, the glory that covered Adam and Eve, and God had to give them skins to cover themselves, that glory returned with Jesus. It returned in the garden when he gave that first drop of blood. Nobody took his blood. He gave it before it was ever taken. and he never spoke because that blood has a voice. And it restored. Resurrection started in Gethsemane. Resurrection started there. Everything that you have has been paid for by what Christ has done for you and has reestablished that which the enemy has distracted us from by what's happening to our body, what's happening to our neighbors, what's happening at the office, what's happening to my car, what's happening to my kids, what's happening to my grandkids, what's happening to my bank account. He wants you to look at all of that. So what happens? That you'll settle down, get discouraged about it, build a little prison around it, and start decorating the prison and never move forward. Because you lock yourself down by distraction. I have so many people that are on my intercession team, and I don't let everybody on my intercession team because I have people that will say, I'm praying for you, and that was their prayer. They text me, I'm praying for you. Well, you thought about me. Thank you. See, that technology has reduced because now we can access. We don't even have to make the phone call anymore. We lost all intimacy. So if I'm praying for you, I don't know if they're really praying for me or not. I don't know. So I wait until I know people who really pray, and those are my intercessors. People who will hit their knees, people who will fast and pray and say, yes, Lord, Father, show me what's in heaven. I'm not giving up until the Holy Spirit speaks. I'm not giving up until those levels of declaration, proclamation, and everything, until I begin to see what's in heaven, and I'm now seated next to you in heavenly places, and I take what's in heaven and push it into time. I'm not in time begging heaven to come to me. You are not a beggar, you are not a slave. You are a son, a daughter, and the priest, and the king. And you stand next to the King of Kings because of the cross and the blood of Jesus. And that is in your spiritual DNA. This season of preparation is renewing how you think. It is changing your perspective so that you might continue to be more like Christ. You will become the living word of God, like Christ was the living word of God. He equally yokes his bride. He became the word manifest. It is our mandate not to just pray scripture, know scripture, quote scripture. It is my mandate to become the living scripture so that I am all things to all people when he needs me. And I can access him for anything. I used to work for a Fortune 500 company. I barely graduated high school. For those of you who are new, I had to take welding and auto mechanics to get enough credits to get, because I'm a tomboy. So welding and auto mechanics to get out of high school. I flunked English. I flunked typing. And I'm an author. I wrote a book. And I've got five more started. And you know what the enemy would say? You flunked English. You can't type. You can't spell. And I said, well, my machine will spell for me, and I can pay somebody to edit. I don't have to have that. I got a revelation, and it needs out. So, you know, but the enemy locked me down for years saying, you can't read. You can't read. Because I had a fourth grade teacher who told me, baby girl, it's a good thing you're cute because you can't read. And I believed her. So when I got to high school and it came to public speaking, I couldn't read. When I started preaching at 17, I would go to read a scripture and it didn't even make sense. It didn't even sound like a sentence when I would try to read it. It was so horrible because I was still living under that fear and that thing that the enemy had anchored in me, that trying to steal this destiny off of me. But I stepped into a Fortune 500 company. I learned to be a two-foot pipe for Jesus. I knew that he's quite genius and he knows every business. I don't have to know their business. I just have to open my eyes and he will show me what to do. And I saved them millions and millions of dollars because of what the Holy Spirit told me. I didn't have to know it. I don't have to know their spreadsheets. I don't even have to know their product. God, I walk in and he shows me this. He says, give this test, do that. I do this, I do that, and boom, the answer's right there for me. And they couldn't see it. And it was just as clear as day to me. Because God is the God of all wisdom. When your spiritual DNA gets shifted, you can do all things through Christ. Will you take the risk? You know, there's never a lesson you go through that's bad. If you fail the lesson, that's a good thing. You learned how not to do it. I learned how not to pastor by being a bad pastor. I learned how not to pastor by sitting under some bad pastors and serving in those houses. I served diligently, but I thought, when I'm a pastor, I ain't going to do it like that. But here's what happened. Even when I became a pastor, I still made mistakes at the cost of my congregation. But I have a Father of grace who always healed them. A Father of grace who was bigger than my ignorance, bigger than my, that word I'm looking for, my immaturity. He was bigger than my immaturity. I know a lot more than I've ever known before, and I still feel like I know nothing. I still feel like I know nothing, and yet I have experienced God on so many levels and so many miracles and so many wonderful situations. I know that my DNA has turned to sonship. I'm no longer a servant in the house. I quit being a minister, and I just started being a happy wife. And I'm his bride. I just love. You don't have to ask me to go feed babies. I want to feed babies. I do it because I want to, and it makes me happy. And you know why he lets me do it? Because it makes me happy. Not because the scripture says, feed the poor. It does it because there's joy. Because, see, kingdom is joy. It's love. It's peace. It's goodness. It's all those things. And if I'm doing it with service and sweat, then there's something wrong because I'm acting like a slave when I should be sitting back going, how do we do this? Yes, bring me a mint tulip, whatever that drink is. Mint tulip. Julep, I don't know what they drink here in the South. Bring me some magnolia, darling. Okay. As you develop the obedience to live within my intentionality, you will learn to live in harmony with my delight with you. This unity with the Spirit will be the source of your overcoming lifestyle. In this dominion, I will teach you how to make the future incredible by living in a present that is beautiful. I will teach you how to make a destiny that looks incredible by living in my extravagant beauty for you. You know, God has so much beauty that it will never all be discovered, even on this planet. There are rocks that have such beauty and wealth in them that they'll never even be seen. But he is so extravagant in all that he has. And we reduce ourselves to saying, yeah, but you got the whole Milky Way galaxy. You can't even see our sun from the galaxy. You can't even see our earth. And I'm just a little person sitting here and making. I'm just a little person. Well, I want to tell you something. The smaller things get in the natural realm, the more powerful they are. If you split an atom, you get a bomb. You get into quantum reality, you put me compared to the universe, just our own galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy, we look like a quantum quark. We look like the smallest visible thing that has been measured. You know why it's the smallest? Because right past it goes into the invisible. Oh, but they both marry. Oh, we start to see that the little things, it's that smallness. When you feel small on the inside, just tell the devil, ooh, go ahead and hit me, see what happens. You bust this thing open, it's going to blow you up. You don't know who you're messing with. You're trying to make me feel little, I'll get smaller. I'll get smaller and blow your hand off. I'll put you under my feet. It doesn't matter if I'm infirmed. It doesn't matter if I'm old. It doesn't matter if there's pain in my body. You're still subject to me because God has given me that authority, and I don't care what the position is. You have to get down and under my foot. Wear your high heels and leave a mark on his head. get your boot stomping things on. Just say, not on my watch. You're messing with the wrong person. Say it out loud. You're messing with the wrong person. I may not know who I am, but God knows who I am, and he's bringing me forth. I still haven't discovered who I really am. I have yet to discover all that God's intentionality for myself. And it is a great journey. It is a wondrous journey. It is a wondrous journey. He is a big God. He is a big God. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. Greater is that spirit of God on the inside of me than a quantum quark split. Scientists say that if you split a quantum quark in the quantum mechanic realm, if you split that, they said our whole galaxy would blow up. Our whole galaxy would blow up. That's how powerful it is. But God is greater than that on the inside of you. So this circumstance that's trying to say, look at this, put some authority towards that. Let me steal your glory off of that. The book series I'm writing now is called the Destroy the Glory Thief. Because, see, God gave that glory back to me through Jesus. I don't have to be anointed. I am altogether glorious because I look just like Papa. And I'm in his image, and he is glory. He is glory. What we lost in the garden has been given back at the cross. One tree took it, another tree gave it back. And the Holy Spirit inside of me has illuminated this authority, and it enlarges my perspective and my place and position to change the circumstances of the Holy Spirit. Change the circumstances that are happening in time. Time is temporary. Eternal is forever. It is never changing. So I'm living in true events. This is all true that it's happening. It's true that I got victimized. It's true that there's no money in my account. So it's a bunch of zeros. All I need is a one. Give me more zeros. And one is all I need. Give me all the zeros you want. I just need a one in front of them. Not behind. I'm the head and not the tail. Right? So if I look at that and I'll just say, okay, Father, I don't know what that means, but let's do something about that. See, it's never, a victim always says, why? Why? There's a billion answers to why. That is a victim's question because it can't be answered. And even if you answer it, they still want a different answer. So don't ever ask why. Here's the question that's empowered. This is where I'm at. What should I do? See, now I have something. Now God can tell me what to do. He'll never do it for me. It's my privilege to do it with him. If he does it for me, I'm a baby in diapers sucking a pacifier. If I want to be the bride of Christ and spend the money, I got to be able to do this myself. I got to be able to do this myself. So that when the enemy shows up, I tell him what to do. I know how to position him. I know that when the lie comes, I love lies of the enemy. I love when he starts coming after me. You are not going to live long enough to see that happen. Thank you, I'm going to live long enough to see that happen. Because see, the scripture says that he's a liar and he's the father of lies and the truth is not in him. So if he can only lie, the opposite of what he says has to be the truth. He quit messing with me when I started turning that stuff around. He quit lying to me because I'd say, tell me another one. Tell me another one. I have a counseling service, and one of my clients from California, he's a young man whose mother adopted him out. And so he's always felt like he never had a mother. And I said, that's such a lie. I said, who are the women in your life? Send me a list of the women in your life. So he sends me a list of 32 women who have been in his life, between grandmothers, aunts, friends, school teachers, people who have taken them under his wing, they're under their wing, because he was orphaned. And I said, you have a designer mom. You have a designer mom. You have a designer mother. God has not just given you the attributes and giftings of one mother. He's taken 32 women to invest in you. Quit believing that stinking lie. You have more mothers than most of us. You have been privileged in this life, not stolen from. I have no idea where that came from. It just fell out of my head. But it was what he needed, and I learned from it. I learned from God speaking to that boy. I don't know why he asked me to do the list. He said, have him send you the list. So he sends me the list, and I look at it, and he goes, look at his mother. And I went, oh, okay, I get you, Papa. I don't have to have the whole answer, just the part I'm supposed to do at the moment I'm supposed to do it. So when I get on the phone with him, he's giving me, I said, he had a whole list of lies that he's been told all of his life. You're going to be poor. You're never going to get married. Nobody's ever going to love you. You're too short. Nobody wants you because you're Mexican, blah, 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 blah. And I'm going, and I start laughing. Every time he'd say a lie, I'd start laughing, and it upset him. And I said, I'm sorry, son, that just tickles my heart. And he tells me another lie, and I'm going, oh, that tickles me even more. And I hear him crying on the other end. He's like 32 years old. He's crying on the other end. He's going, Mama, I don't understand why you're laughing at me. And I said, I'm not laughing at you, honey. I'm laughing at the enemy because he's a liar. And the opposite of every one of those lies is the truth. You are going to get married. You are going to be wealthy. You may grow. I don't know about that one. But but all the rest of it, you're not too short because God's got the right way for you. You're not too short. You're the perfect height. You're exactly what she's looking for. And so then he started to laugh with me over each of these lies. See, he learned to reverse the curse. Reverse the curse, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Oh, Jesus is so big. So big. And it is simple. It is such common sense. We try to make it really complicated. And it really is just love. In the way that you're hardwired. See, I'm an abstract thinker, so I come from these really strange positions. I come from really strange positions when I'm looking at stuff. You can tell. You can tell how strange I come from things. But the Holy Spirit shows me things from the way that I'm hardwired. My husband is a man of peace. He likes to be in the cave, consider, mull it around, do all of that. And sometimes he thinks he comes out and tells us, but most of the time he's just in there and he thought he told all of us, but he didn't. And that's the way he's hardwired. And that's good. I, on the other hand, have to talk it all out, and then I pull the good stuff out of it, and then I know what I meant. Because that's the way I'm hardwired. So I'm a woman of war. He's a man of peace. Wonder which one we learned first when we got married. Peace did not flow like a river. He used to say to me, he goes, Sherry, just let it go. It doesn't change the course of eternity. I said, but. A little motorboat just putting up this, going upstream. I'm going to make this happen the way I need it to happen. And he's going, it's not going to change the course of eternity. Let it go. Let it go. And it would make me so mad every time he'd say that, because I knew he was right and I didn't know how to do it. 42 years later, I know how to do it. I finally became peaceful. I finally became peaceful. It was wonderful. I love it. I love it. So earthbound logic cannot comprehend the true nature of life in the spirit. Your brain is not going to figure this out. Your spirit has got to lead you into it. Earthbound logic, my soul cannot rule me. My mind, will, and emotions cannot be the ruler of what is. I can't be moved by what I'm feeling. I can't be moved by what I'm seeing. I have to be in the spirit till I see what's in the spirit, and I call those things that be not as though they were, because they are. I see them, and therefore God has said, do what you see me doing. And when he gives me eyes to see, that's what I hold on to. And I don't let go until I see that manifestation. And he'll take me around every circumstance and show me how to disable it. I just dismantle it one little piece at a time until that circumstance, I've taken authority over it. You have to do that. You are the ruler in your universe. It's you and Jesus. My husband's a volunteer in my universe. My children are volunteers in my universe. I am alone with the Father inside of me. It's me and him in time. So I cannot get my validation from what happens in time. It is temporary, and truth usurps true. This is all true. Truth comes from eternity. So I walk in truth, and I wait for truth to set me free, because the truth is my navigator. The truth is the living word. The truth is Jesus Christ inside of me, bigger and bigger and bigger. And what is in time is so temporary. It is always subject to change. And I guarantee you, whatever's bothering you today ain't going to be there in a year and a half. Now, it could be bigger if you give your authority to it. If you put your authority on that lie, it'll be really true to you. It'll never produce truth, but it'll be true. And it'll get really big true. And it'll invite you to start hanging pictures and moving in furniture. Because that circumstance can imprison you. Or you can say, that's not what heaven looks like. That's not what my destiny in God looks like. That's not what redemption paid for. Not on my watch. I'm going to shift that. I'm going to take this circumstance, and I am going to rule with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Because I am his son. I have his DNA. I have his blood within me. I have his spirit inside of me that created this universe is inside of me. I want to access the alignment with eternity. Yes. Oh my goodness. I'm going to play a song for you. It's called So Am I. Oh my goodness. Have you heard this yet? I love this song. So Will I. It's by Hillsong. Pay attention to these words, because this perception of this woman who wrote this song, she knows a really big God. All of the words, every chorus, every verse is important. There's some truth of God for you to drink from out of this song. There is such a bigness. My heart enlarges every time I hear it. I'm going, yes, that's my Father. Yes. Yes. And the things of this earth grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. This song does it for me, so I'm going to play it for you, okay? Yeah? Okay. Oh. Sorry, I was listening to it in the car.
God of creation, there at the start, before the beginning of time, with no point of reference, you spoke to the dark and fleshed out the wonder of life. And as you speak, stars were made to worship so long.
You say, so will I. So will I come into the fullness of what you've desired for me. Say it with me. So will I come into the fullness of what you've desired for me. So will I stand undenied. So will I stand undenied. I will not be denied a face-to-face encounter with you. I will not be denied the fullness of your presence. I will not be denied a new position of understanding. I will not be denied the fullness of the cross. I will not be denied standing in your presence. I will not be denied living in presence. A 100 billion creatures take their breath when you speak. 100 billion failures disappear. I don't know him good enough yet. I don't love him well enough yet. It's not about what I do. It's about that intimacy. We do all the work because it makes us happy to do that work. That is not my identity. My identity is lost and found in intimacy with him. So will I. Step out of darkness into light. So will I step out of confusion into understanding. So will I step out of my circumstance into victory. So will I. So will I. I love you, family. Did anybody get a potato or a carrot or some just good broth? Maybe a cut chunk of meat in there once in a while. God is good, right? I'm unconventional in the way that I minister, I know. I quote my scriptures, I don't read them. Because I have to give away what's already in me. Because it has life on it. It has life on it. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just release over this house, over this city, over this region, Father of lights, whom there's no variation, there's no shifting and no shadow inside of you. Father, I ask for you to be illuminated in each of us, that we would begin to shine with the glory of the God, the glory of your presence, the glory. We know why the enemy's after us, because we look like glory and he is that thief. So we are just going to put the thief where he belongs, under our feet, and we are going to shine with the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it can be in a conversation. It can be in a hug. It can be an embrace. It can be cleaning a public bathroom. It doesn't matter. I'm there to honor all that is in my hands to do. Father, I thank you that by us being who you created us to be, you are glorified. It is not a work you're looking for. It is intimacy that you desire. Your intentionality has always been intimacy. So thank you, Father, that our intimacy with you is going to take a new dimension. It is going to take a new reality. It is going to take a new perspective, a new authority in all that the Spirit is leading us to rise up as the men and women of God, as your equally yoked bride, to declare that this is the day that the Lord has made. And I am going to rejoice in it, no matter what this circumstance is in. My rejoicing will cause those walls to fall. And the victory is always going to be my Father's. The strength he will put in my body to do the work. It is my strength. It is my understanding. He is enlarging me. He is enlarging me, Father. He is enlarging us. He is enlarging High Point. He is enlarging Macon. He is enlarging his purposes that have been yet to be accomplished. That which was prophesied will still come to pass. So, Father, we will continue to plant the seed, water the seed, and harvest when necessary. That which your work and your Spirit is doing in our region. Because we will not be denied. We will not be denied what you called on this region. We will not be denied what you established this city for. We will not be denied that the prayers of the righteous who have gone before us are still being answered today, and we are those that get to answer them. So, Father, we take all the generations before us and those unanswered prayers. It is our privilege to be the answer to that prayer. So, Father, it's not us doing the work. It's you doing the work. We are co-laboring. We are beside you, not in front of you, not behind you. We are right there, and you are cheering us on to have a dominion on this earth. As you gave dominion to Adam and Eve, you gave it to Christ. He gave it to us, and we take that dominion. Rise up, man of God. Rise up, woman of God. Glory be to Jesus. He's so good. He's so good. He is glorious. 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 Jesus is glorious. He is glorious in me. He's glorious in you. He is glorious. The 24 elders around the throne, they've laid down their crowns and they cry, "Holy is the Lord." And every time they keep saying, "Holy," they're not saying holy because they're not saying the same word over and over. They see another aspect of holiness they did not know before. Holy is the Lord. And then it's enough fresh revelation. Holy is the Lord. Holy is the Lord. For eons they have cried, "Holy is the Lord," because this unfathomable God, before things could be measured, before they could be measured, before there was a point of reference, was birthed inside of him. And it is holy. It is glorious. And that lamb that was slain, he took his own heart and laid it on the altar for us. I will not be denied the power that he has given me as being his song, his creation. Do not be denied. He is glorious, glorious, glorious. Does anybody agree with me? Yeah. stand up. Father, we stand in agreement that you are glorious. You are glorious, Father. You are good. And your intentions for us are bigger than we can imagine. Your intentionality is yet to be discovered. What you intended for us is yet to be discovered. We will spend eternity trying to comprehend your goodness. But Father, those things that you've given us to change this earth, heal the sick, raise the dead, set the captives free, proclaim the favorable year of the Lord, heal the brokenhearted. Father, we spend that currency every day. We're going to spend it every day because time is the part of eternity that we get to have dominion over. So, Father, I release a fresh authority, a fresh so will I on every single person, a fresh I will not be denied, a fresh like, oh my goodness, Jesus, I had no idea it was going to be this good. I release a fresh adventure inside of you. I say, stir up, oh well. Stir up, Spirit of God, inside of you. Come forth. With every manifestation of love, every manifestation of love. Make it so. And may God bless you, family. Blessing means authority to accomplish. God give you authority to accomplish all that's in your heart to do. And may he give you a bigger dream than you've ever had before. A bigger dream than you've ever had before. Because nothing's impossible. If it doesn't exist, he'll create it for you. It doesn't even have to be a molecule that exists in time yet, and he'll still create it for you if it's necessary. Nothing's impossible.